Foofs, I don't even know what episode this is. But anyway, hi everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Afaf is here again. Because my dad's... Guys, he's too busy for me now.
It seems that I'm not going away.
No, you're not. I think he's been busy like moving and just like running his business. So I think when I'm back in August, he'll film with me.
He'll be back. He'll be back.
He always comes back.
But
yeah, this is the last episode for... A while.
Mm-hmm. Until August.
I'm gone for a month. Don't cry.
I know. Don't cry. But considering that this is the last episode, what we've done is that we put together a lot of topics actually generated from your comment section, I believe.
Yeah.
Most of them are.
Yeah, it's kind of based on the feedback we get.
Yeah, so I think this will be a very good episode.
You look so pretty today.
Thanks, babes.
Babe, I swear you should have been on camera today. Like, your makeup's...
Oh, man. Thank you.
Your makeup's doing... It's makeuping.
It's giving?
It's giving. The what needed to be gave.
It's giving. Shall we crack on?
Let's do that. Let's crack on.
Okay, Lails.
Lails.
So, people are chasing happiness when in reality, the goal is to be content. What is the difference between being happy and content?
Okay, what is the difference? I've noticed that sometimes I speak with like my knowledge of what my dad's taught me in the back of my mind. So I shorten my sentences and then people react in insane ways, which is fine. But like the last video I posted about men aren't men anymore, when I kind of went into detail, people were like, that was well explained, you know? So I think I need to not assume that people understand always what I'm talking about. But something my father told me is that happiness used to be an admirable goal, excuse me, because the definition of happiness was different before. The definition now has really metamorphosed into an untamable beast that the root of it, I would say, is selfishness, because it's all about me, 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 my happiness. I just want to be happy. I'm going to do what makes me happy. And a natural consequence of that sometimes tends to be indifference. You know, because you become indifferent towards other people's needs and wants. Not that your life should revolve around that, but if a community is going to survive, it has to be a well-oiled machine that everyone cares about everyone, right? So happiness is no longer an admirable goal. And happiness is also, unfortunately, foofs. It's fine. It's also, unfortunately, toxic, you know what I mean? Because it's fleeting, it causes impulsive decisions, it's an insane high for the moment, very temporary, and then the crash is quite ruthless, you know? So to be content is to trust in God's plans and just trust that you are on the right path and you are genuinely doing the best that you can while you are on the right path facing trials and tribulations. So there's a huge difference between happiness and being content. And I would urge everyone to chase contentment, to find it in their hearts to be content, because the mere fact that we are breathing is a miracle, no matter what you have been through.
I think you touched on this, of course, with what you said, which is amazing. And I 100% agree with is, but why, just to like kind of clarify further on it, why do you say being content is better than being happy?
Because I have to think of it in an Islamic point of view. It's just my default setting, and I thank God for that. I hear a lot of stories, and my dad always, bless his soul, will tell me stories of, for example, the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, he knew his family would be killed after he was gone, you know? And still he said, Alhamdulillah. He knew all the trials and tribulations he was facing while he was alive, and he still said, Alhamdulillah. And if my Prophet is my role model, لَقَدْ بَعْتُ, what is it? بَعْتُ لِأُتَمِّمُ مَكَارَمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ. That means I was sent to be the exemplary of human behavior. So if I believe that, which I do from the bottom of my soul, then I have to follow his example. And if he is content with whatever God has bestowed upon him, then I will always try to be content with whatever God has bestowed upon me.
So I think the message here, or from what I understand, is when you're content, you find happiness.
Yeah. Yeah, but I also, when you're content, happiness isn't your focus anymore. It's not something you yearn for. It's not something you even think about, because you are in a perpetual state of rida. And rida is 1,000 times more powerful than happiness. Happiness is deceiving. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness is ruthless when you are addicted to it and it's not there. It's not a state you want to aspire to be in, or a cycle you want to find yourself locked in. It's just not worth it, I don't think.
I love that.
Thanks.
I love that. Very well said.
Thanks.
What is the best way to express anger and conflict? How do you stay patient? And when do you not stay patient?
You did ask me this before. I think there are... So it's interesting. When I posted the video about men aren't men anymore, and I said you should be an intolerant man, a lot of the comments were kind of like, what do you mean intolerant? Men are already intolerant. Because I don't know why every man apparently seems to beat women. Khalas, we've automatically decided it's all men. But one comment struck a little bit of a chord with me, and I think it was a woman who left a comment saying, but the Prophet alayhi salam, excuse me, was the most tolerant of men. Yeah, but he also punished those who wronged him. And he was ruthless with that. God bless his soul. You will never be what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was. Never. It is an impossibility. I will never be what he was. You know what I mean? No man can ever be what he was. But we can try our best to get as close as possible to emulating his behavior and what he taught us and the lessons that he's left behind. He was very tolerant. He didn't just take out his sword and chop off heads just because someone said something he didn't like. Of course, he was the most tolerant, the most loving, the most merciful. But if someone crossed boundaries, especially when it came to betrayal, when it came to certain things, just Google and read what he used to do. You know? So, back to your question, I have to look at that, and there's examples for everything. There are scenarios where, especially when it comes to, for example, your parents or certain people in your life, yeah, mercy and rahmah on yourself and them is the best decision to make. But also if someone is intruding, trespassing, causing harm to you and the ones you love, no, you have to take a stand, in a very harsh, sometimes aggressive stand. I think also the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, I don't know the quote in Arabic, but he said what takes away the peace from your heart, you drop it. You know? So to be angry, I don't know if anger is a thing. My dad taught me a lesson at a very young age. He's like, feign anger, pretend it. Because sometimes you have to put people in check, but don't allow your heart to get angry. And it's something I try to do, which you'll see me sometimes, I'll get angry, but deep down I'm not angry. But I'll like lose my mind externally because you have to.
I love that. Mm. I love that. Feign anger, but don't let it get to you.
Yeah.
I love
that. Because, by the way, sometimes, like my father having gotten mad at me when I was younger, or my mother, or my ex, even if my boss was toxic, not an ex-boyfriend, because it's not what we do here. but if, like, I had an ex manager who was a horrible manager, and she would, like, get angry or say really horrible, toxic things, but all of it led to my growth and my healing, right? So sometimes getting angry at someone, even if you're feigning it, or even if you are genuinely angry, because we are human at the end of the day, it actually can help the other person, you know? Participation trophy doesn't exist. You have to know how to face anger when it comes your way. You have to know how to deal with criticism, with pissing someone off because you wronged them. Or maybe you didn't even wrong them. You did the best you could, but someone's just being completely horrible to you. But such is life, and you need to accumulate the tools to handle it.
I love that.
Thanks, babes.
That's a real.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. But, you know, just back to that question. Mm. How do you how do you stay patient?
I don't know how I stay patient. If you want me to answer truly.
Yeah, truthfully, of course.
My most honest answer is, I don't know. I was a very impulsive and impatient child and teenager due to many reasons that I'm very well aware of. And it was detrimental to every part of my life. I cannot even stress it enough. And I was so, خلاص, like, ميؤوس الحال. يعني عن جد, I could not fathom continuing the rest of my life with this horrible self-sabotage and MO, right? And I prayed for it. And I always say by the grace of God, because I know everything good about me is by the grace of God. It has nothing to do with me and only with God being kind enough and merciful on me. So how do you stay patient? I don't know. I prayed for God to give me the ability to handle everyday things with as much grace as possible. And I think patience falls under that umbrella, because I never pray for patience because I hope I won't be tested again and again. But if I am, then alhamdulillah. But I don't know how I stay patient. It's a factory default setting that I really went out of my way to train for. Anything that happens, my first reaction is alhamdulillah. Even if not externally, internally, I'm like, we're good, alhamdulillah. And that, if you mean it, you cannot help but be patient, because it's not actually patience. You know you're in the right time, in the right place, and God's just processing you. So I don't know how to be patient.
Okay. Islamically, does one have to be patient in all scenarios and cases?
Or I believe so.
Yeah?
No, actually, wait, I take that back, sorry. Mm-hmm. Not in all scenarios and cases, no. Because I think it's in the Quran. I don't know if it's hadith or Quran, but I want to say it's Quran. إن الله مع الصابرين. It means God is with those who are patient. There is a beauty towards patience. But like we said, there are scenarios where it is necessary to either figuratively or literally chop off heads. Because God, I say this all the time. But privately, I don't think I've said this in a video. God didn't create you and put you on this earth to become a doormat. So إن الله مع الصابرين عراسي وعيني من فوق. And patience is a virtue عراسي وعيني من فوق. And handle things with as much grace and as much love and as much empathy as you can على راسي وعيني من فوق. But God didn't make you to be someone's punching bag. If someone crosses a boundary, someone trespasses, someone does something that goes against your honor, for example, or your family's honor, no, you take a very strong stance, especially if Islamically or in whatever religion you follow, there are ways to handle these overwhelming scenarios. And you do that with your head held high, because God is on your side and you don't let people walk all over you. It's not why God made you. God didn't put you on this earth to be someone's punching bag. It's never going to be a thing. But if you don't stand for yourself and you allow that to keep happening because you're tricking yourself into thinking it's patience, it's empathy, it isn't. You are strictly weak and you're unable to stand for yourself. And then God didn't put you on earth for that. Ever. It's just not a thing.
I love that.
It's not a thing. Babe, like, you know how many times I'll deal with girlfriends or guy friends or whoever, and they'll just be like, خلص على الله حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل. Beautiful. But you can tell the difference between is it true iman and it's حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل, and I'm really like, I'm good with this. I know God's going to take care of this. Because I've had those scenarios. And that's real. But then there's the حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل and خلص, like God will take care of it, because you're just weak and you don't know what to do about it and you don't have the balls to do something about it. And that's not faith. I'm sorry. That's you're just a coward. And that's fine. Most people are cowards these days.
There's a real here.
Most people are cowards these days also.
So, this is gonna, sorry, this is going to, let's just say stir the pot.
Blood of my blood, what is it?
And you know what? This question I'm about to ask you, it's so important to actually touch base on this.
Okay, hit me.
What is the most significant difference between a man and a boy?
Okay, so I don't know if my friend's gonna watch this, but his name's Sanad, and he asked me this question, and I love this question. I do. It's a two-part answer for me. Okay. The main difference between a man and a boy is a man does what he says he's going to do. That is, to me, the number one main difference. And does what he says he's going to do, not with toxicity and aggression for no reason and using your power to overstep boundaries and almost walk all over people that are smaller than you, be that a woman, a child, even men that are weaker than you. You do what you say you're going to do by using all the tools that God has bestowed upon you and blessed you with to protect your family, to benefit your community, and to serve your God and your Prophet, alayhi salatu salam. If you do not do that, you are a waste of a man. And it is such a pity to be a waste of a man.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah. And, you know, can I say something with the video? We're going to reference this video a lot, but with the video of why I truly believe that men aren't men anymore. Some of the men, honestly, this is why I said it with a broken heart. God bless their souls. There are some really good men out there. And they said, you know what? Even if the women screwed it up with their feminism and their nudity, we're leaders. It's our job to lead them back, you know? And I appreciate that because I'm not saying women need to be saved by men. And I'm not saying men need to be saved by women. I'm saying we all need to save each other. So if you see a woman slacking, do your part as a man and pick up the slack. And if you see a man slacking, do your part as a woman and pick up the slack. Not in the sense that you pick up the slack for him, but you treat yourself with so much respect that he has to automatically and forcefully look internally and feel embarrassed that he's not a man that can access you. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's not about putting the blame on either party. It's just about if everyone lived in service of others, we'd be having a very different conversation here.
I love that you said that because I'm married, right? I'm married.
I do know you're married.
So I'm married. Beautiful thing about like my relationship with Yuri is that, you know, like I've been in corporate for 10 years. It's just been a lot. I haven't had the time to myself, but I'm getting back to, you know, being responsible and doing what needs to be done, you know. But one thing I love about Yuri is that from the amount, how stressed I was and how much things needed to be done in the house and how I honestly did not have the drive and I was just depressed.
All the time, yeah.
What I loved about Yuri was that he would honestly do 90% of the housework and not once, babe, honestly, not once.
Complain?
Did he even bring it up? And I was just like, this is amazing. Now that I'm, you know, partnered with you and I'm working with you, it's so different now. I feel that because my husband, you know, never burdened me or never, you know, made fights.
You're gonna make me cry.
No, but it's true. Like, I feel like I'm getting back into picking up things around the house, being that woman and proud to being that woman.
Yeah.
Proud to being, you know, like, it's not because I'm a woman, I have to take care or cook for my husband or do X, Y, Z or fold his clothes. It's because I want to do it and I love to do it.
Yeah.
Like, part of my nature or I would say that part of being a woman is being a caretaker.
Of course.
It's biology.
Yeah, you're a nurturer by design. I love that, babe. I don't want to cry, but I do.
Yeah.
I love Yuri. I love you. Mashallah alaikum. Like, God bless. But I fully agree. It's just, I fully agree. I'm never attacking one gender exclusively. And it's not even an attack if I'm being fully transparent. It's just stating facts, you know?
Yeah.
Most of the people in the comments saying the weirdest things. I'm just like, I don't even take it personally because you can clearly tell from a comment if someone knows history or doesn't. You can.
Oh, absolutely.
You can spot it a mile away. And that's fine. But it's not a specific attack on one gender. If it just needs to be mutual support. If you have enough time to think, oh, the patriarchy is the reason all of this is happening, then I'm sorry, it's too busy internalizing all of your bigger than life emotions and you're not out there living in service of others. If all of us were living in service of others, everyone would be content. everyone would be happy, everyone would be empathetic, sympathetic, there wouldn't be any of this nonsense we see, we're talking about, we're dealing with today. But that'll never happen.
I think today's world, we've just lost touch on what the essence or what the concept of a marriage is. It's a partnership. When I'm feeling 0%, but Yuri's feeling 100%, he's gonna back me up.
Yeah.
And when he's down, you know, feeling like shit, or it's a bad day for him and he's not able to do what he needs to get done, I'm gonna support him. That's just the way it is. It's not a battle of the sexes or the genders of no, like, it's not for me. It's just crazy because I feel like, you know, when I'm scrolling on Instagram and TikTok, I don't know why my feed is like this. I'm not asking for it, but I don't know why my feed is all about relationships and memes about relationships and all of these things. But I've come across this video where a woman is complaining or fighting with her husband, saying, oh, like, the husband asked her a question of, why are you being like this? Why are you in a bad mood, basically? And the woman responded, I did your laundry. I did that.
I know what video you're talking about. I think her name is Kat. She's a big TikToker.
I don't recall.
She's a big TikToker. And it's when I think it was her baby daddy. They got married and then they got divorced shortly after that video went viral. I remember it. Listen, I get that. I don't like to judge these specific videos because you never know what's happening behind the scenes. Obviously, these two are divorced and now co-parenting. So you never know what's happening behind the scenes. That being said, the sentiment you're saying is absolutely true. In general, it should not be a complaint to... I'm going to say something my dad said and it's going to piss some people off. Okay. Women make it such a big deal that they have to cook and clean for their husbands because... that's so degrading and they're so above that. Yet the maids or nannies or cleaners that they hire, that they'll pay pennies on the dollar for to do that, that's okay. That's feminism for you. Less than minimum wage those ladies make. That's feminism for you. They will يتكبروا على cooking for their husband and their children. The food that is their sustenance, that's going to keep them going, that's going to, should be made out of love, should be, I cannot explain to you how اللقمه من ايد امي bro ما بتسوى الدنيا, like it, I mean it, like it just بتسوى الدنيا, sorry, like nothing is worth that, and you are acting all high and mighty and above that, like you're doing God's good work, you know, but you'll pay a girl who left her family to come pay her crumbs for her to barely live on it and send it back to her. That's feminism for you, by the way. This is why I say I'm anti-feminism, because that's literally what feminism is, in a nutshell. And fight me all you want in the comments, I'll give you a million other examples why I'm against feminism.
That's wild.
Especially modern day feminism.
You know, so I'm starting to get back into my element, right? Having more time for myself, doing what I need to do, like the laundry, the dishes, and I love that. But sometimes, like, as back to your point, sometimes I would go to Yuri and be like, what do you want me to make you? Like, I feel like cooking. I want to like cook something for you. And he would say, no, let me order so you don't get tired. I'm just like, oh, like this guy is heavy. He's a man.
He is. Yuri's lovely.
Men of men's.
I think every time I've been at your place, he's doing laundry. Well, and I don't even comment on it, but I'll look at him and I'll be like, okay, here he's doing laundry.
Okay, I think we're getting into the groove, right? Mm. This is also a topic. I'm not sure how you're going to respond, but I think this is going to... maybe a lot of people will agree with you, or, you know, you just piss off a lot of people, Layla, these days.
I love it. My friend Sally, she always turns around. Every time I open my mouth, she turns around and she's like, please never change.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I piss people off a lot and I'm just ruthless with it. But I appreciate it in return, so.
What are your thoughts on online dating? Tinder, Bumble, Humble.
I hate it.
Okay, but what are your thoughts?
I hate it. My thoughts are I hate it.
Why?
Because for a minute there, I thought perhaps this was a great idea because... there are some shy people out there. There are some reserved people out there. Or maybe it's just, where do you go? Where do you go to meet someone, right? And I know a lot of people that found the love of their life on a dating app and they're married now. I've attended, I have been to a wedding. It's the one wedding I went to. But she was Filipina and he was British. So it wasn't an Arab wedding and it was in Dubai. So anyway, but I attended their wedding. I'm just against it because, number one, if you do the research and read the studies behind it, the algorithm is not there to help you find a partner. Let's start there. It's not.
It's to keep going back to that. It's to keep you on the app,
yeah. Number two, some of these apps I've heard have become just like booty call apps, for lack of a better word, which obviously is just, you know me, I'm very anti that, and that's just the filth I'm fighting here. It might as well be OnlyFans and porn, like, at this point. And then number three, it's enabled women to be lower value, and it's enabled men to be more cowardly. And I don't appreciate that. I don't appreciate men that are cowards at all. I don't respect it. I will look down at it. I don't like cowardly men because it's a waste of breath. That being said, I miss yearning and pining and Pride and Prejudice, you know? Like, as a man, bro, go find your woman out in the streets. What are you doing? Like, go out. Hunt her. Meet her at a supermarket. Meet her at a restaurant. Meet her at a meeting. What do you mean you're texting her behind the screen? Go up to her and say something. I saw Iman Gatzi say once, and I really appreciated it. He said something along the lines of, if I'm out in public and, for example, I make eye contact with a girl, it doesn't happen more than twice. If it happens more than twice, I'm getting up and speaking to her. Because otherwise, I'm not spending all night in a freaking staring match. Like, what's happening? Be a man. Go to, like, you've shown interest. She's shown interest. We've looked at each other twice. Get up and say something, right? And nowadays, personal experiences, and I see it with all my friends, you'll be out, you look beautiful, hair done, whatever, you're having a gorgeous meal with your friends, and there's some handsome men around or handsome women, and you, eye contact happens for 2 hours, you get up and you leave. What are you doing, bro? What are you doing? Men aren't men anymore. Granted, I think a lot of these men are taken, which is, that's a whole different conversation, stop freaking looking, but a lot of these men are also not taken.
I feel like the married men that are taken actually ballsy. Make a move.
Ballsy.
You notice that?
Married men are ballsy.
But that's what I've noticed.
And I'm just, I shooketh. Married, bro, no one has, no one has the balls of a 16-year-old, like, with the liquid courage and the putting yourself out there, one foot on the ledge, one foot on the edge.
One foot on the ledge, one foot on the edge.
As married men, ballsy.
The audacity.
Audacity. But I have to believe that if they are the way they are, forget the reasons why they are the way they are, but at some point, I think they are getting a positive reaction. And there are women out there that are just like, yeah, let's do this, which is just beyond me.
Just a question on this topic. Yeah. Obviously, for us women, we always want the man to approach first, right? That's the way we want it. Whoever is going to come in and, you know, disagree otherwise is lying. Yeah. Yeah. Every woman is romantic in a way.
In a way.
In a way. Do you think that a woman should approach a man?
I've talked about this before. Never.
It's never?
One of my most viral videos. Mm. It's one of my most viral videos.
Do you think it's like,
what are you doing chasing a man? And my dad even said another thing. He's like, he said, why are you taking that luxury away from a man? Babe, I think, I forgot the name of the actress, but she was on one of those late night shows and she said men used to hunt. Bro, when you really break it down, men used to hunt, go to war. What do you mean make a first move? Why am I doing everything for you?
I love that.
No, never. Never. I don't even want to go into details as to why. It's just a no. Figure it out for yourselves.
So I'm going to ask this again just because, like, just in case, I want you to answer this, like, very simply. I don't want, I hate it at the beginning.
Babe,
what are your thoughts on online dating?
I'm not gonna post a video about this. I don't like it.
Really?
I'm not gonna talk about online dating. I love you, but like, khalas, I don't like it.
Okay, khalas, let's skip that one.
And also, do you know why? There is a period of time where you kind of need to let people figure it out for themselves. You know what I mean? If I post that video saying I don't like online dating and I give the reasons, a lot of people, and I'm not going to say they're going to be defensive or attack me in the comments, there are a lot of girls that, out there that, and I know a few because I've spoken to them and I love them so much, and they're so, babe, disheartened. And their last resort sometimes is just like, let me download Bumble or whatever it is, right? Yeah. And I don't want to take that away from them. I also believe in planting seeds, you know what I mean? So at some point, people need to figure things out for themselves and just come to that conclusion on their own, because it's not an app. This is rizq, and this is nasib, sorry.
Inshallah.
So it's kulha biyadillah, yani. You also have to have that yaqeen. You have to have that deep-rooted conviction.
On to the next change of topic. Okay. Are yes men perceived as weak?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes men, be it if you're male or female, are absolutely perceived as weak. They are the worst company. They are people with the lowest self-esteem, with a deep, deep-rooted need of people-pleasing. And push comes to shove, they are the most cowardly. If you think you're going to war with a yes man by your side, you have never been more mistaken. Yes men are cowards. They do everything out of fear. They do everything out of anxiety, out of panic, out of lack of self-confidence and self-worth. And they need to genuinely self-reflect and figure that out. Because one of the biggest lessons I ever learned is, what is your yes worth if you do not know how to say no? If you say yes to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, I don't need you in my life. You can, there's the door.
Girl.
Yeah.
It's ironic though, because someone that's a yes man, and then like when the time comes and they're faced with some travesty, they'll just be the first to like run out the door.
They bolt, like those cartoons ironic, where you just see wind.
It's but it's ironic.
It's true. I told you, for example, like you and I talked about this before, you never say no to me. But it's a very specific kind of never say no. We discussed this in depth. You argue with me. You disagree with me. We go back and forth on a lot of things, which is beautiful, and I wouldn't change it for the world. But when push comes to shove and I make a decision or I tell you let's do something, you always say yes. And it's because we trust each other enough that you trust that I'm making the right decision that will benefit the both of us, and I will never lead us astray or put us in harm's way. So that's a different kind of yes man, yeah. Right? But I wouldn't even say that's a yes man. That's a loyal friend. That's loyalty.
It's decisions based on strategy, yeah. Being rational.
But that's also loyalty. You know what I mean? Yes men aren't loyal, and people get that mixed up a lot. The friendships that I've seen burst into flames were yes men friendships.
Oof.
Where one was the alpha and one was a little tiny beta.
Can you say the story? Not don't drop names, but just kind of, just an example.
There's no specific stories. It's just, I would see like the top alpha or the queen bee, could be girls or guys, mm-hmm. And then you know the person in the relationship that was the weaker one and had to, you know, follow like a little puppy dog. Push comes to shove, that friendship burst into flames because
she got tired of her shit.
Not just that, such an intense, acute lack of balance when it comes to who holds the power. I say it all the time, the universe has to come back to an equilibrium. Eventually it scales tip too far. And everything falls over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not a sustainable mechanism or a relationship.
Okay. How do you handle trust and jealousy in a relationship?
You don't. I've told my friends this.
Say it again.
I'll say it. You don't, babe. I've told my friends this. I think I told you this the last time. I understand how sexy the appeal of like نمنغار على بعض and we get jealous over each other. I get it.
It riles some emotions.
I get it. Ruffles some feathers. I was 16 once too. I get it. Okay.
I love the 16-year-old reference.
Babe, because we were just talking in the car. We're millennials. We were emo. Like, it's a thing. You know what I mean? I understand the allure of, you know, that. That being said, what am I getting jealous over? So here's the thing. If I am with my partner, my husband, and I'm getting jealous over, what is it over? Is it over him talking to a girl? Why are you putting me in a position where I'm sensing something's wrong? You can leave, there's the door. It's just that simple. If it's because girls are all over him, if he does what he needs to do and he's being a man of men and he's not really caving into every little lassie coming his way, then like, I'm proud, that's my man, of course. He's the man of men and all the women are dying for him, but he stands his ground like the beast that he is. Mwah! Music to my ears, right? But if you're putting me in a position where I need to be jealous, you can walk out that door. I'm not playing these games with you because I won't do the same in return. What do you mean? That's I'm all for playing the game, but that's when we cross the boundaries of disrespect, you can... And I do not have time for that. It's so horrible because, you know, some people might tell you in healthy doses, and let's play along with that. It's human nature to ruin things. Those healthy doses quickly increase in increments over time. And before you know it, you've reached a realm of no return. What are you doing? So how do you handle jealousy and whatever in a relationship? You just don't. If your partner is putting you in a position to be jealous, that's not your partner, bro. That's a really horrible, messed up human.
Well said. Well said indeed.
Oh, thanks.
Okay. I hear what you say. I'm in a relationship. What you said is clear. But honestly, at the end of the day, I mean, it's human and nature to feel jealousy and envy.
No.
Yes.
No. Of course. Envy, no. Babe, envy is a big word. No, it's not human nature to feel envy. It's not.
What do you mean?
Envy is a... Most people shouldn't feel envy. That's not a... Envy is, babe, when you want to, like, destroy the person in front of you and take what they have. Envy is a strong word. Envy
is... But it is a human nature.
It not... No, babe, it's not. It's some human's nature, but it's an evil human nature.
It's evil, it's horrible, of course.
But it's not a general human nature. It is human nature. Jealousy is human nature.
The first humans, the brothers, Adam's sons, that killed, one of them killed the other.
Babe, are you telling me the Christian version right now?
It doesn't matter.
It matters.
What's the Muslim version?
I don't remember the details exactly, but babe, yeah, but that's the epitome of evil.
Yeah.
Okay. Envy is not human nature. Envy is human nature. Envy is part of people with a really deep rooted... Because it's one of those fine lines of... That, like, people who are capable of murder and people who aren't.
Of course.
So it's like you saying murder is human nature. It's a very specific kind of people. Envy falls under that.
No, I don't mean it that way. Let's not go to that
anyway,
trajectory.
My point is... But yeah, jealousy is human nature. And keeping it in check and. But... I'm with you. You know what I mean? Jealousy, I agree. But I don't think most people are the kind of, like, for example, they'll see you happy with your partner and it's like, I want to take him for myself. Like, that's envy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's, I don't want you to have it. I want it for myself. But jealousy of, like, they want it for... Yeah, I get you. But even if it's human nature, you have to keep it in check. And there are ways to keep it in check. And there are ways to change. I think the excuse of it's human nature is just an excuse that people use to get away with things.
I think it's clear now is your partner shouldn't give you a reason to feel jealous.
I know, but some men, for example, if we post this video, will leave comments of she's jealous no matter what I do. I've never cheated. I've never done anything. And some girls will tell you I'm so loyal to him and he's still jealous no matter what. Well, I think the answer is in your comments. That's just a horrible person. And that's an internal thing that has nothing to do with your partner. If your partner is doing everything they can to reassure you and make you feel as safe and as comfortable and as confident as possible, and you still find reasons to be jealous and psychotic, you are the problem.
Yeah, that's obvious, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you'd think it's obvious.
I mean...
You'd think it's obvious.
I think jealousy is just one... feeling or emotion that's so dangerous.
Yeah, of course.
It's it's so scary to be surrounded by someone that is jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm with you.
It's wild.
I'm with you. And you're, babe, when you asked me that question before, like privately, you're not a jealous girl. You're just a fiery mama. You're just a spicy,
just a little munchkin. Spicy.
You know, I think you just like keeping Yuri on his toes. I'm going to be honest with you. You like messing with him.
Yes. You know what? I'll even proudly admit that, because I think this is not what gets us going, but it's, you know, one thing that, you know, helps.
Yeah, it's just, you guys aren't like toxic with it. You're just fiery. You just like to give him a hard time. And he knows it very well. So he just plays the game.
Oh, he does. Yeah. You know, it's so funny because I think I outsmart him, but
he outsmarts you. 1,000%. I think Yuri always knows what you're up to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So when I don't think you're actually a jealous woman, babe. I've seen you. Like when you go out, when he goes out, when we all go out together, you're not a jealous woman at all.
Oh, no.
At all.
Listen, I'll be very, very honest. Have I been jealous over Yuri? Yeah, I will admit that. Like, I'm not going to lie about it. Have I learned to deal with my emotions? Because honest to God, I'll tell you something.
He hasn't given you a reason to be jealous.
He hasn't given me a reason to be jealous. But if he does, then that's a problem.
Of course.
That's a problem.
That's a different conversation. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, for example...
So it was me. And yeah. I'll say it out loud.
But your question before was, is it human nature? So like you're saying, it was you, but you worked on it because he hasn't given you a reason to. So you know what I mean? Oh, even absolutely. If it is human nature, we're all born with certain... vices. It's up to you to handle, babe, handle your shit.
You know, I came clean. The minute I did it, I came clean.
What do you do?
So me in general, I never ever, like for me, I never check someone's phone or spy on them. I've never done it in my other relationship, but I've done it once in this relationship. It was so stupid. It was bad. And by the way, mind you, it wasn't even me taking his phone when he wasn't there. It was me just looking over his phone.
Oh,
when
I know
he was
you
there.
Told me this.
Yeah, I told you that story. But honestly, like, I don't know what came over me. Like, genuinely, I know you're gonna say you do know.
Curiosity is human nature.
I actually did not know why I was just looking at his phone while he was scrolling. But it was like Bitcoin. He was watching the football match. Just a bunch of like memes. None of the scrolling even featured one woman. And I'm like, okay. And then I told him, I'm like, okay, babe, I'm going to come clean. I'm like, while you were scrolling, I was looking at your phone. And he's like, why? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know. Actually, I think I remember what triggered it.
We had a podcast session and I said, all men are inclined to want to.
I think
procreate.
That triggered me. That triggered me. So that's why I did that. But yeah. I felt stupid. Can I it's be okay. honest with
I'd
you?
I'd rather you feel stupid for that reason than feel stupid for another reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, but honestly, like to your point,
I'd go through someone's phone.
I would never do that.
Oh, I would.
I think spying is a horrible crime.
Okay.
Yeah. No. It's unacceptable.
Sure
I've never gone through someone's phone. I've never gone through my sister's phone. I've never gone through my best friend's phone. I would never
If I'm being honest, I went through someone's phone once and it's because I had a gut feeling about something and I was absolutely right. Now, with my wits about me and the way I behave and how I think and my mindset, I wouldn't. If I had a gut feeling, I'm just going to trust it and you're out that door. I don't need it.
Yeah, exactly.
خلاص انتهى.
Yeah, you know, sorry, we'll end this conversation and jump to the next one. But what I love is that I used to, in my old relationship, by the way, I used to feel insecure going out with my guy for us together because I would be so afraid that he would look at other women or like you know, chat them up or whatever it is.
With you there?
Yes.
Okay.
So obviously that ended, right? And that this never repeated itself. So I think, back to your point, if they give you a reason, girl.
Yeah, babe, but if they give you a reason once and you haven't walked out the door, the rest is your fault.
Walked out the door, babe. Oh, by the way, the only time that happened, I was out.
Good.
The next day we broke up.
Beautiful.
Because if that's something that happens,
خلاص.
It's going to happen.
خلاص. Yeah. Don't ever believe... Listen. Let's talk about this. When someone messes up once, 9 times out of 10, they'll do it again. Now, are there genuine mistakes where people screwed up just that one time and they won't repeat it? Sure. Lovely. Beautiful. But 9 times out of 10, watch a person. When they make a mistake, they know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly where your boundaries are, where your lines of respect lay, and they knew exactly what they were doing. So someone does something once, you best believe they will do it again. So if they do it again, don't sit here and tell me it's their fault and you have such a kind heart. Once is their fault. Anything after that, it's entirely you. Once and you're out the door. That is a rule.
Oh, absolutely.
Non-negotiable.
Oh my God. With my first relationship, the minute that mistake happened and he put me in a spot where I felt like,
what am I doing here? Yeah.
And like the lowliest of women, I'm like, yo. Lowliest of women. No, but honestly, like just from the gutter, like low, bro. No, I was like, no way. Next day we broke up. I'm like, sayonara.
Sayonara,
you're not my man.
You're
not my man.
And clearly he isn't.
Oh, yeah. Alhamdulillah. All right. Are women complicated or men don't understand us?
Both. Women are complicated, but they're also not that complicated. Human nature is actually quite easy to understand if you open your eyes. But women nowadays are, I'd say, lost, and their sense of being lost causes the complications. And then men are even beyond lost. And then their sense of loss and not understanding their masculinity and who they are as men, how they don't even understand themselves, let alone others. And women don't understand themselves, let alone others. And yalla, put these two lost sheep together and let's see how it works out.
You don't want to expand on that? Yes, women are complicated, but men are stupid.
Listen, I told Sally I'd reference her in today's video.
Love that.
And she said a sentence that I at first was like, I don't even know how I reacted initially. If I'm being honest, I can't remember. But she said it again yesterday. And I was like, you know what? You've twisted my arm. I cannot help but agree with you. She said, the only I know are men.
Why?
Because the only I know are men. I'm going to be really honest with you. The most cowardly, the fakest, the slimiest, greasiest little snakes slithering into their holes and in and out. And they're just weak. I miss strong men. You know, it's so funny. Some of the comments, especially when I said men aren't men, will be like, you're just projecting your experience with your father and brother. I wish you peace. And I'm like, I filmed this podcast with my father, you. But men are, honestly, babe, if you want me to be fully, fully honest, I can't tell anymore who's dumber. I've seen women make the dumbest mistakes. And then people will be like, don't victim blame. Who am I going to blame? I blame myself for her mistakes. Who am I going to blame? You want me to blame God? God forbid. Do I blame her parents? Of course I'm going to blame you. كل واحد يتحمل نتائج أعماله. Okay? Everyone is responsible for their own actions and will suffer the consequences of their own actions. This is a non-negotiable in my mind. So let's just skip through that. I've seen women make the dumbest mistakes. I've seen women treat themselves like garbage, allow men to treat them like garbage, allow women to treat them like garbage, allow their parents to treat them like garbage, their siblings, their colleagues, their be everyone. I've seen women put themselves in situations that are inexcusable, and then they cry about it the next day like, how did this happen to me? What do you mean? I've seen women be stupid, all right? But then I've seen men be absolute cowards and disgusting and filthy and unforgivable behavior. So I will agree with my friend Sally, all the I know are men. Now, whose job is it to save the other? I don't know. Let's start with blaming ourselves because we are responsible for our own actions. And then push comes to shove. Let's all help each other out. So is it men's job to save women? I've said it before. No. But hey, guess what? Help. You're a man. Lead by example. Is it a woman's job to save men? No. But hey, guess what? God put you on this earth for a reason. You breathe life into this world. You are a nurturer and a caregiver and a caretaker by nature. So pick up the slack. وخلص بقى خلصوني. Just get it together, guys. Like, handle your shit.
Get it together.
Get it together, for the love of God. I'm tired. Y'all have exhausted me.
Y'all have exhausted me. We have a lot of questions still.
For some...
No, we have to get... This is the last time.
I know, but...
Fine, I'll pick the good ones. Let's go with three.
Go for it.
Or three. Two.
Okay, go for it, go for it.
I feel like this is a good one, and I know you know so much about it. So let's expand on this. Yeah, this is the last one. Can you explain psychologically how the eldest child, middle child, and youngest child would turn out?
Okay, so we're three. It's myself, my sister who's a year and 3 months younger, and then my brother who's 6 years younger. So respectively, 29, 28, and 23. A lot of followers have wanted me to talk about being the eldest child because they're the eldest themselves. Being the eldest, it is as horrible as this is going to sound, but heavy is the head that wears the crown. غصبن عنك. You are put in a situation where you need to pick up some slack. You need to almost, not almost, you need to literally help with the raising of the younger siblings. You need to be their rock. You need to be the person they come to. And it is a big responsibility. And you need to wear that crown and you need to wear it with pride. That being said, stop victimizing yourself for being the third parent. It's a blessing. It is the greatest gift you could ever have, because God forbid anything happens to your parents, who are your siblings going to go to? You want to throw them to the mercy of the world, have them be eaten by wolves? You should be the person that wants to protect them and wants to be there for them and support them. I really believe that the only reason God has blessed me with the blessings that I have today is because I got down on my knees and prayed and cried to him that I never want my family to ask anyone for help ever again. They only come to me. And guess what? My family only comes to me. They don't have to imiddu idun la anyone else. And inshallah, by the grace of God, that never changes. Mm-hmm. So heavy is the head that wears the crown. Wear it with pride as the eldest sibling and do what you need to do and be the breadwinner and be that person. Just do it. Otherwise, you are a loser. And it's non-negotiable. I don't care. I don't care that you felt so bad that you had to raise your siblings. Screw you. You know what? You don't deserve to be the eldest and your siblings deserve better. Okay? I'm going to be really harsh about it. Middle child. I'm just going to say middle child syndrome. It's real. I love my sister to bits and pieces. She is a handful and a half, okay? Middle child syndrome. Very smart, very intelligent, but very people-pleasing, wants the love and affection of both parents, and very impulsive with decision-making and very emotional. But a ride or die. A ride or die, a solid one. The youngest sibling... the diamond of the family, rightfully so. They are the youngest. They need to be protected at all costs. In my case, it's a boy. So obviously my mom loves him more than everyone combined. And you know what? I love that for her. I do. You go to war for the youngest. You have to always make the youngest feel loved and protected and that they're not alone in this world. It's hard for them to assume responsibility at first, but if you lead by example, they'll quickly pick up the slack and they'll understand the repercussions of their actions. And they're risk takers in the best way. In my family, if I'm being honest, it was switched. Usually they say the eldest is the most responsible and the youngest is the wild one. I have to admit my brother was far more responsible than I was growing up. I was a rebel without a cause.
Rebel.
Rebel. And but now that Alhamdulillah, like I said in a previous video, I've shifted my perspective and being the eldest is the greatest blessing. It enabled him to fuel his responsibility 10 times harder. So it's a well-oiled machine. But each person needs to understand their role. I think that's important. If God made you the eldest, there is a reason. He didn't make the youngest the eldest, he made you. And there is a reason for that. And each person needs to understand their responsibilities, the tasks it encompasses, the burdens that they need to bear. And it's not necessarily a burden if you choose to not see it as so. So I think if those lines are made clear, things get better.
I love that. That's very beautiful, babe.
Thanks.
Yeah. That's so nice. You want to continue or wrap it up?
I think we have
4 minutes.
Okay, ask me one more question. You're giving me a death stare.
No, it's just, it's our last hurrah, babes. I gotta make the most. So, okay, I'm gonna read out to you two questions and you tell me which one you want.
Go for it.
Does money buy happiness? And a single woman, should she put herself out there and how? So just tell me which one you, or work to live or live to work?
Neither, I told you that already. But I think, does money buy happiness?
Okay, so let's just go with that and we close.
I'm gonna reference Tristan Tate again. Well, I referenced Andrew before, but for, does money buy happiness? Yes and no. Okay, because there are certain problems that cannot be solved without money. It's just the way of the world. You cannot change it. It's non-negotiable. Does money buy happiness? No. Because if you started off depressed, running away from your problems, anxious, panicky, money just exacerbates that. And, you know, do with that what you will, but you will find yourself worse off than you ever were before. That being said, I did watch a video of Tristan Tate saying it. I don't remember if he said it buys happiness or it doesn't, but it sure as hell makes him comfortable. Because, for example, God forbid his mother got sick, he was able to pay that hospital bill, no problems. You know what I mean? Easy. And that's a blessing that you work hard for and you aspire to reach. Because I tell my dad all the time, the one thing I still can't control and that it'll make me feel like I'm suffocating is if my family asks me for something and I'm unable to provide it. I will literally feel like you're burying me alive. So money doesn't buy happiness because my emotions are my emotions regardless. And I really, like I said, I aspire to be content no matter what happens. So if it all goes away, it all goes away. Hikmillah, what can I do? But does it buy me the comfort of my parents, the desires of my siblings? Absolutely. And that means everything to me. So this whole, oh, money doesn't buy happiness, okay, good for you. Don't have money.
That was good.
Yeah.
I think we can wrap it up from here, right?
All right. It's our last hurrah. So
we have 2 minutes left.
It's okay. I have to wrap it up. But I think I'm posting the video, the horrible video we filmed with my dad. Guys, it was a bad one. Haram. He was tired. I was tired. I don't even know how we survived that. But I'll be posting that in a few days, and then this one the week after. There will still be the reels on Instagram, but your girl's tired. Y'all have exhausted me. I need a few weeks off, so I'm traveling for the next month. And then Baba Bear will be back. And Afaf, of course, because
God, guys, don't fall in love. Don't fall too much in love with me, man.
By the way, I've gotten a lot of DMs of like, you know, you and your dad are so wise, but then and Afaf, and I love her. Like, aww, you're just surrounded by wise people. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I am.
That's so nice.
It's beautiful, but I'm luckier than most, babe. The people in my life are phenomenal.
I know you're going to disagree with me. And it's not because, so you know me, I don't say things to get a comment or a reaction back. I say it because this is just the way I feel and I want you to accept it. Okay. Middle child syndrome.
Middle child syndrome.
Emotional. No, but you know, that's actually so good to hear because I don't think I'm a well-spoken person. I really don't. I know you disagree and you don't agree with this, but
I think you're better spoken than most people. Is there room for improvement? Always. Yeah. I have room for improvement.
Who doesn't? Even for the room, for sure there's a room for improvement, but in general, I don't feel like I'm a charismatic person to listen to.
No, I think you are. I told you once you're a bad storyteller.
I think I've slightly improved.
You've improved, yeah.
The storytelling has slightly improved.
It has improved, yes.
Let's wrap it up. Gotta get to my Botox.
Oh my God. I hate it. I'm so against it. Just for let the record state that I am against it. Anyway, thanks so much for today.
Love Foos. You. Love you too, guys. Baby girl. Thank you so much.
Love you guys. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right.